Okay, so we've finished looking at local area networks, and these are networks which are used for, well, local communications, so communication around a building or within a particular enterprise, and possibly also as the access point to further communication, so to the internet. And I should probably, and that internet could have either a small or a capital I, so either sort of a broader network, a multi-hop network within a single organization, or the internet as we know it today, so spanning the globe. Okay, we saw that the key issue for local area networks specifically was the idea of sharing a medium, and we saw a couple of ways of doing that, either by turn-taking or by contention resolution, and most of the current internet solutions, or sorry, excuse me, local area network solutions are have their roots at least in a contention-based solution. Okay, so that gets us sort of a certain amount of distance, and the question is then, how do we extend the range of this communication? Okay, and so the only way ultimately to do that is to go through multiple hops, so multiple nodes. This may involve changing networks, so hopping from network to network to network, and possibly of changing exactly what protocol you're using as you go along. So our next lecture, we're going to concentrate on the idea of IP networking, so how the IP protocol determines how routes through multi-hop networks. Now we're just going to concentrate on sort of, again, what are the various possibilities for connecting up networks. Okay. So again, what we can view, one way of viewing the world is that we have networks of networks. Okay, and so an internet is a collection of connected networks which share a common set of rules for communication. And arguably, you could have an internetwork of local area networks within, say, a university, so spanning a sort of bigger distance than just a building or just the range of a single hop, but still sort of private to a single entity. And needing sort of multiple hops to possibly transmit to deliver data from one end to the other. Okay, the internet is a connected set of networks which all use the IP networking protocol. Okay. So IP, again, as we said, is sort of the glue that holds things together. And in particular, there's two components. There's the IP address, which is the agreed upon addressing standard for people to find where they want to connect to. And then the routing protocol. Again, we'll be talking about both those issues of exactly how the addressing works and what the routing protocol is next time. Okay, so what we need to do is, in any case, is to extend our range, and we'll need devices in order to do that. So we've already seen you could argue a quick example of this in switched Ethernet. So all of the communication is occurring through an Ethernet switch. Okay. However, also you could argue that that's still covering sort of a local area network. Now, other possibilities, you could wish to extend your local area network further than its standards allow. So again, if we think about Ethernet, we said that, well, if it was bus based, then there is only the bus has to be a certain length, and there was a trade-off between the transmission speed you could get and the length of the bus. And so if we want to increase that, then we will have to reproduce our signal using a repeater. And so again, this will take care of both attenuation and just length factors, distance factors. Okay. Now, if you keep stringing things together, even with repeaters, what you're going to end up with is lots and lots of nodes on the same network. And that will impact on the performance. So we may wish to subdivide the network and sort of limit where the traffic goes. And we can use a bridge to do this. Finally, we may wish to connect together different networks, and we can use a router to do this. And we will here assume that everybody is using the same network layer protocol. And possibly, we might want to perform a full translation of the protocols, if we're using different protocol stacks. Okay, so terminology is not universally agreed upon, so you will get some variations, but the basic functionality is there. Okay, so if we think about our devices, then what becomes key is what layer the protocols are operating at, and we can define that within either the OSI or the TCP/IP stack. Repeaters, again, are just reconstituting our signal, and so they act at the physical layer alone. Bridges are forwarding frames, or possibly, as we'll see, not forwarding frames, but handling frames, and using them to extend the range and using their facilities to extend the range of local area networks. And so we say that they're most active at the data link layer. Routers, will link multiple local area networks, and in order to do this, they will need to determine their routing via the network layer. Okay, and so sort of as a base case, we can think of everybody running, again, the IP protocol. And finally, gateways are providing a translation service if we have incompatible protocols. This tends to be less the case these days. Okay. So, obviously, all of the devices will have to operate in all layers below the one in which they're most active, since they are ultimately involved with forwarding the information along a link. Okay, so repeaters, as we said, are just used to clean up our bit representation or our frame representation in the case that we've increased our distance beyond what is possible for the basic network. So if your bus is too long or your wireless devices are too far apart, you can add repeaters to improve the signaling. Okay. So all a repeater does is it reproduces a clean copy of whatever data is being sent into it. Okay, and so we can see in an example here, we are sort of trying to extend the length of our bus, and we can do that by just cleaning up our signal and, you know, forwarding it from one bus to the next. Okay. It reproduces the signal. It doesn't amplify it. So as the signal possibly, you know, is distorted due to distance, the repeater will just interpret the bits and reform them. Okay. So, like a repeater, a bridge is used to link various components of a local area network. But now it's aware of the physical addresses of the nodes, and therefore it knows where in the network the nodes are. And it can use that information to manage the amount of traffic on the local area network. So, again, we can imagine our bus topology. There's going to be a limit to how many nodes can be connected to a single bus, either, that limit is related to how much traffic can be carried on the bus before, you know, again, issues of contention become problematic. Okay. So, a way to deal with this is to, again, split the local area network into multiple components. So, multiple buses, for instance, that are separated from each other. And the bridge then will act to forward the appropriate information from one bus to the next. Okay. And so, unlike the repeater, which passed on all of the traffic that it received, the bridge can filter traffic, so it will only pass on traffic that is required, that is destined for a node on the opposite side of the bridge. So if A is sending traffic to H, the bridge will be used to forward that traffic on. If A is sending traffic to D, the bridge will not forward the traffic on to the lower bus. Okay, so again, just as I just said, the bridge only forwards on traffic that it needs to forward on, so traffic that's where the destination is on the other bus. And so when it does that, it will again regenerate the signal and transmit that signal on to the bus. Okay, so it can be thought of as another device on the bus. Okay, and so there's a number of there's a number of ways we can implement this with sort of increasing degrees of complexity. And so the first, a simple bridge would just link to two components with the node addresses entered by hand or manually onto a bridge table. So the bridge would know which addresses were on which portion of the network. Okay, a multiport bridge can be used to connect more than two segments. So you can connect again as many segments as you want, and again, you would have to have some table which tracked what nodes were attached to what segments, and typically you would, again, manually build this table. Okay, so it's possible for the bridge to learn about the addresses, and so the bridge can build its table of addresses as it relays the frames by looking at the source address in each frame. So if a packet is sent into a certain port, then you know the location of the source. Now, depending on if you use the bridges to, again, build up more complicated networks, and if you might contemplate having multiple bridges, then it's possible that you could end up getting into a loop where the bridges are forwarding the packets back and forth to the various segments of the network. And so, in addition to just learning sort of forwarding information, bridges need to build loop-free paths. We'll see that sort of idea cropping up again when we look at, again, IP routing. Okay, and so again, if you have multiple bridges in action, the bridges can act to determine not just sort of a forwarding table, but an exact path over which data so frames will be forwarded. Okay, and again, we'll see that idea cropping up again later, a few slides later, in when we look at MPLS. Okay, so the basic idea here is that we can extend, again, the local area network to cover sort of larger and larger distances, although typically, again, local area networks are maintained by, you know, single entities, so they're unlikely to span a region greater than that of the single entity. So DCU, for instance, would have a local area network that was running within the campus, or perhaps within now the three campuses, but not covering the world the way we know that the internet can. The main feature of repeaters, so it should be bridges, again, is that they work on the local area network address. Okay, so they don't pay attention to the IP address. Okay, bridges can also, again, perform address translation. So if you're going from one sort of a local area network to another, so more likely these days from a wireless, we have a wireless LAN connected to a wired LAN, then the bridge can perform any sort of protocol translation between between the headers of the two types of frames. Okay, and so the frame format, we've seen that the frame formats tend to differ, payload size can differ, data rates might differ, etc. And bridges can be used to translate between the various components. Okay. So, again, we see there that still operating at the data link layer, we were able to expand our distance, but as a practical proposition, at some point, you're going to leave the confines of your local area network, you're going to leave the confines of the network owned by a single entity. And so now we need to have a method by which multiple networks, again, cooperate in order to forward on information. And so the device that we use now operates at the network layer, and we refer to the device as a router. Okay, so a router, in order, again, routers have to act together to forward information over multiple networks. And they do this again by looking at the network address and having a uniform approach to transmitting data at the network layer. Okay. So a router has to have links to multiple networks at the same time, or possibly multiple networks and routers at the same time. Now, it's possible, again, that there's no router that's connected to both the sender's network and the receiver's network. And in that case, forwarding has to be used from a router to a router to a router in order to hopefully get you nearer to the destination network and eventually arrive at the destination network. So typically, again, we now have packets, and each packet is addressed, and the router makes the decision based on the destination address of the packet where to send it. Okay, sorry, I just thought I had one more slide in there. Okay, and again, the most common version of example of routing at the network layer is IP routing. So it's the implementation of the network layer in the TCP/IP internet protocol stack. So it's the internet protocol, and again, this consists of the IP address, and then various algorithms for IP routing. The gist of IP routing, again, is that it's done based on the destination of the packet, and that decision is made at each router, which is what, looking at the destination, where's the best place to forward your information, forward the packet. Okay, so in the next lecture, we'll look at how that is all done. The final device that I will mention is what's called a label switched router. And so, again, traditionally we had this idea of the IP routing dominating the internet, and it certainly does. And the internet is, if nothing else, it's held together by the IP addressing scheme. And that the routing protocol associated has routers deciding next hops based on destination IP addresses. And typically, what we want to do is find the shortest route, and we go on the first hop of that shortest route. Okay, whatever shortest means. Yeah. So, for a number of reasons, people have suggested that this is not necessarily the best form of routing. In particular, at the core, the idea of circuit switching becomes is fairly attractive, And if not circuit switching, then possibly virtual circuit switching. Okay. So multi-protocol label switching is an attempt to take advantage of some of the ideas of virtual circuits routing. Okay. And with, you know, advantages in terms of the speed at which we can define paths, the data delivery characteristics, etc. Okay, so we've said IP glues everything together, so we can't do away with the IP address, and we don't want to do away with the IP address, but we want something that runs possibly in parallel with our IP, our IP networking. And so MPLS does this by sitting in between the data link layer and the IP network layer. Okay. And so what we have is something which again adds its own header information. So we have our data link header with the Ethernet header, the MPLS header, and then the IP header. And if our router is MPLS enabled, then it can look at that MPLS header, make its routing decisions based on that header, and not have to resort to IP routing. Okay. MPLS can also sit between the data link layer, just for noting, it can sit between the data link layer and other routing protocol and other network layer protocols such as ATM and frame relay as well. So the difference between IP and MPLS is that MPLS does path-based routing. So the label is a path label, and it defines a path between source and destination, and the packets, just like with virtual circuit switching, the packets follow the path, not just sort of a random forwarding as you get with IP. Okay, so since it sits between the data link layer and the network layer, it's said to be layer 2.5. Okay. So the advantages, there's a number of advantages to making MPLS routing. So the forwarding decisions are made based on both source and destination addresses. And so we can then route our flows to the same destination differently. Okay. And so we can do that either to balance traffic, so to try and more evenly use our resources, so to determine where resources are available and route through that portion of the network. And possibly to provide traffic prioritization. So based on source and destination, we can provide possibly slightly better paths to one source destination pair over another. Even within the IP context, it can be used to rapidly recover from link failures because it has pre-computed backup paths. Okay, so if you have applications that have need of sort of continuing resource access. It's important to be robust to failure. Okay, it's MPLS can also be useful for implementing virtual private networks. So it can be used by a network provider to provide resources to a single customer and isolate one customer's traffic from any other customer's traffic. Okay, so just to look at an example, and we haven't really looked at IP routing yet, but when we do, again, the key feature is that at any node, the next link followed, the next hop in the path to the destination is determined strictly by the destination address. So if we look here, we've got two sources of traffic coming from R5 and R6, and they both want to go to A. And according to IP routing, we will send them all, once they converge and have the same destination, they will follow along the same path. Okay. So, with this, as we can see here, that leaves a second path. It does not so evenly distribute the load through the network. Again, at any point, you have an ideal. You have what's the optimal path, but if you are sending all your traffic along that path, the route will become congested, and so it'll take some time for, again, the routing policies to respond to that. MPLS, on the other hand, can distinguish between the two sources of traffic, and again, it can use that distinction to spread the traffic. So it's in the example here, we see that traffic from one source can be routed along one path, and traffic from another source can be routed along another path. Okay. And so this can provide load balancing within the network. And again, if one of these paths is better than the other, well, you can possibly, encourage customers to pay for the better of the two paths. Okay. So, again, I mentioned this as a possibility of interest that sort of provides an alternative to IP networking, and again moves closer to our idea of circuit switched transmission. And again, within the core of the network, frequently that's seen as desirable. Okay, so having said that, as you might imagine, the determination of the paths over which the data should travel, that can get quite complex. Again, think back to what we were saying about diffserv and intserv, and you could think that MPLS could support those sorts of protocols or those sorts of architectures, but we've already sort of had a discussion of what are the complexities in actually doing that. So, again, that there was, this is just sort of some food for thought, and just to try and get some picture in our head of sort of how networks are hooking themselves together. And so we have a number of ways in which we can make our connections from repeater to bridge to routers. And we've looked at IP routers and or said a bit about IP routers and label switch routers. Okay. What you want to use depends on, well, who's providing the resources. Is it in-house? Do we have, are we going out to this big cooperative internet? And possibly what the service objectives are. So it is sort of at the IP best effort sufficient, or do we want to try to accommodate flows as represented by source destination pairs. So next time we're going to look at the idea of IP, Internet Protocol routing, in greater detail. And so, well, that's our next topic.